But how do you build off Saturday's emotional buildup?
Well, you get better. You continue to coach it. You know, there's no magic wand, or you just keep going. You just go back to work. You go back to work the next day and build off the positive things that happened and fix the things that need fixed and keep stressing the things that need to be accomplished to move forward and get better and keep working to get better as a football team. There's still, for all the positives there's still a lot of things that we need to get better at. We need to, get more consistent at. And the only way I know to do that is to practice, keep stressing it, and keep working the day in and day out to get better. And
you could continue to need to do that. I'm sorry.
Well, is there something about this team's personality that maybe previous ones you've coached didn't have that makes it so capable of making these comebacks?
Well, I think the guys have a lot of confidence. Obviously, I think there's a lot of heart in this football team, and they don't, they don't panic. They don't stop believing that they're going to be able to get it done. But let's say we haven't had those qualities in the past, but I think we're more capable. I think we're, I said it the other day, when we're good, we're a pretty good football team, and we just got to avoid putting ourselves into some tough situations. Like I said, I don't think there's any magic potion that you take to avoid that. You just keep stressing it. You keep working at it and try to continually strive for a higher level of execution. And it's a tough game.
Well, Taylor said you guys worked 2-minute drill, obviously a lot in practice. And you've seen it at Northwestern and Michigan State, some light drives. What do you see in practice? Are they pretty efficient at it generally?
Yeah, something that we do pretty good amount, especially in the early, in preseason camp. And Tim does it, we do it offensively for a fairly good amount. We do it at least once a week. I said the other day, it was ironic that I looked up and there was a minute 20 left on the clock. And that's, I think the first time we do it, first couple times we do it, that's about what we put up there. Sometimes we give them one timeout, two timeouts, sometimes no timeouts. So we've been in that situation and we've been able to execute. And obviously having a quarterback who you have a lot of confidence in, who has some experience now that, we felt like we were okay. And I thought he managed the situation really well.
Is there anything about Taylor's game or his acumen that makes him proficient in those situations?
Well, he doesn't get, I don't think, I think Taylor's pretty calm and has a lot of confidence and let's face it, he's getting better as a football player. And as you get better and you get, your confidence grows, you have some success and you have a belief that you can go ahead in a situation like that and have success. Hopefully that, I don't want to find myself exactly in that situation again, he's a guy who, I feel can execute when need be.
Because your guys' offense is a little faster paced, does that have any carryover to helping you guys with that 2-minute style?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of times, we're used to being up on the ball and going fast, so I think that does help you.
Hey, Bo, the players are obviously executing better than they were 2 or 3 years ago in those situations. Have you learned to coach those situations differently, or have coaches, had the staff handled it any differently? Because I imagine that it's just as important what you guys are doing as opposed to what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I learn a lot almost every week out, as a coach. Let's face it, it feels like I've been doing this for 20 years now, but, every situation's a little bit different. You got to look at the situation and try to make a decision. Like, for instance, the other day, when to use the timeouts and how to use your timeouts and look at the situation and you hope you make the right decisions. And I do think that, it was just brought up that, I think that it does help us. When we were a slower-paced offense, one that you know, made a lot of audibles at the line and had to kill, you know, it was kind of using the kill game, and, you know, it was, we weren't as prepared to handle situations like that because we weren't quite as used to going fast. And now it's, you know, we're up on the ball a lot. We're going at the line a lot. Our signaling happens a lot easier. So you're able to get a lot more plays accomplished in a lot shorter amount of time without going, jumping through a lot of hoops. So that helps you. And so, you know, I think to answer the question in a lot of regards, you know, not only the players but the coaches and to a certain extent the system lends to being able to have success in those situations.
It's pretty rare for you to have three timeouts left in the last 2 minutes of a game. Did you anticipate, you know, that situation throughout the second half and try to hold on to those things? Because often, you know, you use
my
defense or another situation.
You know, I don't mind as much. You know, sometimes if need be, you know, you call a timeout defensively in the second half. I don't quite as much mind using a defensive timeout or using a timeout earlier in the first half. I try everything I can to avoid that in the second half, knowing in case a situation like that comes up. But, you know, in the first quarter, most of the time, I don't. If I feel like I need to do something to settle our guys down or you know, make a particular correction, I don't hesitate in the first half. I try to everything I can to avoid that, you know, in third and fourth quarters.
Did Coach Beck ask for timeouts on the headset that you guys use on offense in the first half, or is that kind of you just seeing
Well, I saw what the situation was, you know, kind of what was going on, and I, you know, I talked to him, and, you know, I made the decision in the first half.
So when you first said 2011, when you back was going to be your coordinator, you said, I want to go fast for XXX.
Well, we talked about it, yeah, and I think Tim wanted to. He was more of a, he'd been around the no huddle, and what I thought was important to be able to do was change tempos as we want to change tempos and you know, not be locked into doing anything one way all the time and being able to mix it up. And I know how that affects you defensively, and I thought that was important for us moving forward offensively.
Well, what are the biggest changes you've seen in Jamal from last year to being a guy that Tim trusts to go to in that situation lately?
Well, Jamal's gotten a lot better as a football player and is a receiver. I mean, there's a guy who, you know, we played him as a true freshman, a guy who played quarterback his whole career, and as talented as he was and is, had a lot to learn. And he still does. He's still growing as a receiver. But, you know, he ran a nice route on that play. And you know, I think he has had a lot better understanding of what we're asking him to do and what defenses are trying to do to him playing in there in the slot. It takes a good feel to play in there.
Was that a tougher adjustment for him than maybe he thought it was going to be going to wide receiver last year, figuring it out?
Oh, yeah. It's not easy. I mean, he's a guy who has really good football instincts, but, you know, you're not only trying to, I mean, in the last year in the case, you know, learning the system and then, you know, trying to figure out the techniques, the intricacies that it takes to be a good receiver, because, you know, it goes a lot. It's a lot more than just running fast and running good routes and catching the ball. You got to have some savvy. You got to understand how to find holes and zones, especially when you're lined up on the inside, because you have a lot more things to deal with in there. And you know, how to bend in your routes, how to really, you know, how to get open, you know, versus the different coverages. And I think he has a lot better understanding of that now.
How'd Marlowe come out of that game health-wise? I know he went
down. Well, he's sore, but, you know, if I know Timmy, he'll make it, you know, for Saturday. But, you know, we're going to give him today off for sure.
And kind of shoulder deal?
Shoulder.
What about Rex? What's his status for this week? You guys are trying to get him practice this week?
Yeah, it just depends on how he keeps progressing. He's progressing well, and you know, like I said before, when he's feeling 100%, that's when we'll put them back out there.
You've played two physical football games in a row, third one coming up. Is there anything you guys do different this week for recovery to help you guys prepare for Penn State?
Well, we did some things last week to help our guys recover a little bit. And, you know, as the season goes on, you can't ignore the fact that guys are, it's been a, you know, a physical year. It's been, you know, it's now going on to, what, week 9? Week 10 if you count the bye. And you know, you have to keep that in mind. So, yeah, we'll make a few small adjustments.
Is that different than what you guys did in the Big 12 since the Big 10 is a little bit more physical?
Oh, no. I mean, it's a, you know, I think you always have to keep that in mind as the year goes on and not ignore the fact that not just it's not just the physicality of the playing, but the, you know, the time on your legs. You know, you get injuries, you get guys having to take more, maybe more snaps here or there. You just got to look at each position and each situation and make sure you have to get your work done and you have to get your, you know, get prepared, because that's obviously what's going to help you play good on Saturdays. But you know, whenever you find a chance, you got to find ways to maybe take a little bit of a load off at times.
Mark Kaczynski's had to be creative with the line at times this year. When you came inside, letting the young guys talk about the job you feel like he's done over the course of the night.
I think Kaz has done a great job. I think he's a heck of a D-line coach, and I think our guys have gotten better. I think they've played better the last couple weeks, and hopefully that'll continue. You know, we've had to mix and match it a little bit in there, and you know, we've had some guys that have, you know, kind of played a dual role, and we're going to need that as the season closes out.
How does that speak to his ability to coach up a little bit? I mean, taking an edge, moving inside probably is the easiest thing to do on the fly. How does it speak to his ability to coach up players in a short amount of time and get them to do what he wants?
Well, he's a good communicator and a good coach, but, you know, the way we kind of coach our techniques, whether you're playing the end spot or playing inside, whether you're playing on the center, guard, tackle, really the techniques that we're asking him to play and how we're asking him to play technique-wise doesn't change a whole heck of a lot, but obviously it takes a little bit of time and effort to get them to understand all the different responsibilities when it comes to, you know, your pressures and all the different calls that can be made.
Your coaches have spoken to this, Kaz, Rossell's, about looking for junior college guys in this recruiting cycle for your defensive line. Why do you think that's important? What do you gain out of that?
Well, we feel really good about our young guys, first and foremost. You know, the guys that are in the program right now, I think it's a talented group, a really talented group. But there's a little bit of a gap there, and we're not just going to go take some junior college guys. If we find the right guy who's mature and we feel can come in and help us early, we'll take a look at that. But, you know, I'm in no hurry to do that. I mean, I think what they're saying is, you know, we're looking and we'll do our homework, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to go that route. Trust me.
Hey, Bo, was Rex pushing to play or is he being patient?
I think Rex pushes to do everything. but I think he's also being smart on it, and we're making sure that he's going to be smart on it. And we're going to I haven't said much to him about it, and I'm not going to. I don't want him to feel pressure from me or from anything else. He knows his body, and that's between Rex and the trainers and the doctors first and foremost. And I'm behind him, and we're behind him 100%. Is to, you know, one thing that I know about Rex, if he feels he can play, he's going to play. But he's been pushing really, really hard in his rehab, and I know he's getting better. I just don't think he's quite there yet.
How would you describe his status in Penn State?
You know, like I said, I think it's day to day. I don't know. It's really hard to put a finger on it until, you know, because, you know, he's been doing his rehab. He'll go back out today and do some field work. He'll do some field work tomorrow, and each day, you know, you just don't know.
Given how Abdullah's played in Rex's absence, I mean, how much are you losing with Rex not in there? I mean, has Abdullah been able to compensate for all that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Amir's played really well, but obviously Rex Burkhead's a heck of a football player, and you're a better football team when you have him. There's no question. And that's not taking anything away from Amir, but, you know, it's... Yeah, he's a good player. You know, you always, you want to have as many good football players as you possibly can going in every game.
Twice the other night, you made a pretty frank assessment of your team. You said that we need to play smarter. In what ways are you talking about?
Well, I'm, you know, some of the, you know, we made some mistakes. I think about our level of execution, and some of the, we made some bonehead mistakes in that game, and you know, I mean, I could name some specific examples, but I don't like to go there. But you know, just I don't call them careless mistakes because they're not trying to make mistakes. But I don't know whether it's a lack of focus or some things that I just think that we have to get out of our game. You know, we're at times where I just believe we're our own worst enemy. When a guy comes off and he knows exactly what he did wrong and he just lost his concentration or focus for a second, and, you know, that can't happen. That can't happen, and it kills you. And let me tell you, it's not from a lack of want to. I mean, I think you see how our football team is. Our guys, you know, they were, it's a really important to them, and they work hard at it. But, you know, you have to go in to play a great football game and be a great football team. You got to have a high level of mental toughness, especially these, you know, these days, you know, and all the things you're going to see.
Was it more on offense or defense?
I think it was spread across the board. That's the thing. You know, it wasn't just one, this guy or this position group. It's a guy here, a guy there.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's weekly press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio.
Become too meticulous in practice, telling guys to focus on not getting called for penalties?
Well, you know, I don't know about that. We talk about it all the time. You know, I don't have the list of penalties in front of me, but obviously, you know, we weren't the only ones out there being called for penalties, but I think it kind of goes back to what Dirk said a little bit, is that, you know, there's some penalties you can live with. The careless ones, those are the ones you can't live with. And, you know, the false starts, the things like that, things that can be avoided. If a guy has a penalty that's, you're being aggressive, I live with that. You know, that's part of the game. You know, some of the pass interference, those types of things. You know, a guy's playing coverage, and you know, those are judgment calls. I mean, you know, you can't. I honestly don't change, you know, how we coach that. Well, we try and, you know, coach them a little bit on it, and, you know, but at the same time, you know, you can't sit there and be so cautious you let people catch a ball on you all day. But the ones that I look at is careless penalties that can be avoided. Those things need to be avoided, and we need to be better in those areas. I mean, one is too many in my opinion.
Game to game, especially with a penalty like pass interference being so subjective, do you have to adjust, I mean, quarter to quarter, minute to minute with your defensive backs? I mean, how the refs are calling pass interference?
I don't. We play the way we play, and you know, I honestly, like I said, sometimes you gotta, there are some things you gotta live with. Now, you know, like I said, you know, there are times that maybe it can be avoided. There are times that it's a tough call, and there's sometimes it's called, and sometimes it's not. It's not an easy thing to coach.
Yeah, well, the other part of that is turnover margin, you know, which has been kind of a problem really all 5 years. And, you know, you overcame it again on Saturday, but how do you get your arms around that thing and flip it in your direction?
You know, I don't know. You know, it's something we stress big time, and you know, we had a couple other opportunities for maybe possible takeaways the other day, and you know, we got the one, and you know, obviously the interceptions, you know, you don't want to see that happen. I don't think we put the ball on the ground once, but we were able to get it back. But something you just got to keep working at, you know. Like I said, there's nothing magical about it. You keep stressing it, and you hope that you're going to get something you stress. You know, you're going to get what you stress. I mean, I You know, it's something I've thought a lot about, and we talk about it all the time, you know. And like I said, if I had a magic wand, it would have been fixed a long time ago.
Is that kind of the thing that you would fix if you could? I mean, is that kind of priority number one in taking the program to the next level, is, you know, getting the turnover margin worked out?
Absolutely. No doubt.
Hey, Bo, can you talk about Penn State and Bill O'Brien?
I'm sorry, excuse me, but I think it's like the number one thing that equates to winning and losing. We've been able to overcome that a few times. You know, that's something, you know, when you talk about it, I talk about it in order. It's, you know, we talk about it every week about the turnover margin, penalties, winning those two areas, and limiting, you know, getting your explosion on offense and limiting your explosion on defense. I've studied a lot of football and been around a lot of football for a lot of years. Those are three things that highly equate to winning and losing. And we've been fortunate to overcome that a couple times in the last couple weeks. But percentages show you're not going to be able to overcome that a lot.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off. Can you talk about Bill O'Brien at Penn State, just the job he's done, the respect you have for what he's done on this team this year?
I think he's done a phenomenal job, you know, with what he came into, the situation he walked into, and it shows the type of football coach he is, but it also shows the character of the guys in that program, that they've stuck together, that they've done a heck of a job, from the players, the coaching staff, the new athletic director, you know, Penn State as a whole, you know, and how they've handled the situation. It's as tough a situation as you could possibly imagine, and I think they've done a phenomenal job of managing it and overcoming it.
You've said in the past that your defense tends to play better as the year goes on. I guess, you know, you've talked a lot about the mistakes and so forth, but big picture, do you see the trend with your defense pointing in that direction?
There's no question. We've gotten better. There's no question about that. But our standards are really high. Really high. We've gotten better.
What do you think you guys are doing better now than you were maybe earlier in the year?
You name it. You guys enjoy that? I heard there was a lot of talk about that from the other day, but no, we've gotten better, I think, in every area. I really do. I do. I think you have to be consistently good. And, you know, we've been more consistent, but we're working to get even better. Our tackling's been better. We've been playing physical up front. We've been challenging receivers. I think we're number one in the country in pass efficiency defense, and so we've been challenging people. And so there are a lot of positives there. But what we have to do is avoid the careless mistakes.
You know, a guy like Will Compton, I mean, he goes back as far as playing with Sue when he was here. I mean, what? He's just been kind of a constant around here since 09. What's he meant to your defense?
Well, Will means a lot. You know, you look at the guys, you know, some of the guys that have been around. Will, P.J. Smith, who's there in the back. You know, there's some guys that have been around here for a while, and they've been leaders. They've been, they've done a really good job. They not just on the field, but off the field. And, you know, because I think that's a big part of it. Big part of your football team is not just what happens on Saturday or what happens on the practice field. It's what guys are doing, what the leaders are trying to do to help solidify the culture you're trying to establish in your program. And that's a big part of college football these days.
Penn State's offense a mystery to you, or do you have a pretty good sense of what they do?
Pretty good sense of what they do. They do what they do, and they try and do it well. They keep it fairly simple for the quarterback. I think he's coached well. They're gonna pound the ball at you. They're gonna run the football. They're gonna run their play actions, and I have a pretty good sense of what they do. But you know, obviously, I haven't coached against these guys for a long time, and you just got to go off of what you see.
Their offensive line about as good as you see this year in terms of
I think they get a good physical, really well coached offensive line. They do a good job up front.
What
Because said they don't run a bunch of schemes, but they what they do well.
When they use their tight ends, they'll use 3-2, 3-4, and they're pretty liberal with that. Do you have a sense in your mind of how you want to match up with that those personnel package?
Uh-huh.
Are they pretty good at using their tight ends?
Yeah, they use a lot of them, and they're part of the equation for sure.
What about McGloin? McGloin, the quarterback for Penn State, just the improvements that he's made from a year ago in the system. Sorry,
that's right.
Say again.
McGloin, the quarterback.
Well, I think he's a better. I mean, obviously, he's being Coach O'Brien. He's always a quarterback's coach, and I think that. McGloin, what you see, he's a lot better football player than he was a year ago, and that he understands what they're doing and how to do it, where to go with the football, and making quick, decisive decisions, and that's what you see. That's what you like to see. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and understands how to make the system work for him.
Given what they've been through up at Penn State the last year. Are you surprised at all by how good they've been? Would you have expected them to be as good as they've been, given the circumstances?
They have good football players. And they hired a good coach. I think that he's done a great job. I think their staff has done a great job, like I said, it says a lot for kind of how they've handled the situation and how they've come together. It wasn't easy, but I think they've done remarkably well considering.
Well, that was I know the scale of the situation probably isn't even comparable, but can you kind of look to Bill O'Brien at all? I mean, coming into a program with administrative changes, pretty complete team at a low, and in terms of just purely football terms.
I don't know. His situation was a lot different than mine. Anytime you take over a program, obviously most of the time when you walk into a program, there's a change of coaches for a reason. So, but their situation was very unique as compared to what I came into.
Well, that was a very memorable game last year, a memorable experience. What sticks with you a year later? When you reflect on it, which I know you don't have much time to do, what do you think of?
That was a crazy time. There were a lot of emotions that, obviously that were flowing through me that day and leading up to that game. And then obviously for them, I can't even imagine, So that was a unique experience to be a part of. That was obviously a game. It missed a tragedy that was a lot bigger than the football game.
What feedback, if any, did you get from Penn State or their fans or their administration or whatever after that? Because it seemed like the draft came out of that, in a very positive way and sort of, in a way, helped Penn State on that day, too.
Well, we hope we did. We hope so. We just tried to do what we believe this program represents and handle it with as much class as we could and be as supportive as we possibly could given the circumstances. Because, they're another Big Ten institution that was going through a tough time. And it's like anything else. You want to rally around each other and be there. That's what we tried to do. And hopefully, the feedback we got going into it or coming out of it was very good. But it wasn't about the, how it made us look or anything else. In my opinion, it was about doing the right thing. And I think as a program, I thought we did the right, we did everything we could to do the right thing given the circumstances.
But what kind of impact have you had on sort of the evolution of zone read offense, quarterback run game? What impact have you had on that?
Me personally? I guess I'm not following the question.
Different ways to attack
the defensive
quarterback on the ground.
I probably drive the offensive coaches crazy at times with my ideas, and some are good and Some might, some don't fit. Some fit, some don't fit. But, you know, one thing, you know, Tim and I think a lot alike. Tim's a guy who thinks outside the box a lot, and he's very creative in what he does. And, you know, what I do is, like, we talk back and forth all the time, myself, the offensive coaches, defensive coaches for that matter, and talk about things that are difficult for people to handle. And difficult for us, you know, if I see something that I think, wow, I hope I don't see that anymore, you know, even sometimes somebody will run it by mistake, you know, just jog an idea, and I usually walk right down to the offensive coaches and said, you ever thought about this? And like I said, sometimes that fits and sometimes it doesn't.
Was it a point of emphasis this offseason to kind of be a little bit more innovative or maybe build a little bit off of the foundation you had in that quarterback room? It seems like you guys are doing, you've added new elements, it seems like almost every week.
Yeah, we use similar concepts, but we might run a different way or be a little more specific to maybe a certain defense or a certain opponent. But our offense gives a lot for a defense to have to get ready for. I'll tell you that much.
Well, what's Antonio Bell's status? Did he travel out there with you guys last week? Is he still on the team or injured?
No, Antonio is not with us. Right before the Michigan game.
Coach, well, pretty much anyone we ask will tell us that Taylor's pretty cold-blooded when it comes to those real high-pressure situations. I mean, is that starting to rub off on the team? I mean, is that a noticeable effect?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the reason why. I just think our guys did, they don't panic, and they, we teach them, talk to them all the time about staying the course, go to the next play, and play to the final gun, and I think that's what we did.
Did Bill leave? Why did Bill
leave? It was a violation of team rules.
Coach, what's the best offensive idea you've come up with, and what's the worst offensive idea you've come up with?
I don't know. I don't know if I know a good one, but there are a lot of bad ones, I'm sure. Ask Coach back. Thanks, guys.